going to try and see how it goes, eh? All right. So, Dave, this morning we've heard, and in their groups they heard about how God's leading. Did you know God, can you tell us a time when God's leading has been really clear to you and how you knew it was God?
As usual, I'll take your question and answer something completely differently. I first started in full-time ministry in 1988. I usually say most of you weren't born then. Most of you were middle-aged then. Can I leave now? But I went into World Expo in Brisbane, and where I went into that, I think kind of is how I'm led into most stuff. I thought that it'd be a fun experience of doing something different, that it'd be kind of like a holiday. So that's been how I've been led with by God kind of all the way through. It's kind of not a planned thing. It's not a strategic thing. It's almost a fall into thing. I can look back at all the different places we've gone and how we served, and each has a different story, but none of them are structured. I've talked to pastor friends who are thinking about leaving their church and what that looks like, and they're like, but I don't know what I'm going to do. And I keep saying, but this isn't a career, this is a call. It's not something we strategize, it's not something we plan to climb the ladder or to find the best option. It's where God wants us to be. So each time we've left somewhere and gone somewhere, we've said we're leaving not before we ask the question, but before we have any idea of what's next. When I came here, for example, we knew that the time where we were was finishing up. I said to the boss that at the end of the year we're going to finish up. I asked in head office, I said, what's available, what does it look like? And Janelle and I went down and he had a list of churches that are available. And we went through there and it was like, yeah. Janelle walked away and I reckon Stanthorpe's the one. And I said, yeah, I reckon Stanthorpe's the one. Meanwhile, from your perspective, you weren't ready at all for that. We knew that Stanthorpe, the former pastor, had left. We knew that there was a committee looking for someone new. And we knew that that's where it was up to. So I rang the regional pastor, whatever, D2, and said, mate, I'm going to go give Stanthorpe a call and telling them I'm going to come and be their pastor. And he said, well, I need to go and meet them too. How about we go up together? So he booked an appointment. We came up. Don't tell anyone this. We met at Vincenzo's, so no one in town would know that I was here. Time frame, it was the day after June had passed away. So June had just finished putting together job descriptions and everything else, pretty much the day before I arrived. And I rocked up and we started to have a chat and was just like, yep, this is where I'm coming. So then I started working out Janelle and I moving, what that might look like and all that sort of stuff. You guys didn't even know I existed. So the process was, well, we'll take applications. And I'm like, yeah, do what you like. But I'm coming. Then we had the interview process. And I think I preached that week. And that was Sunday. So we had an extra day up here. So Monday we did the real estate round. And we walked into a house and said, this is the one we want. So we made an offer on the house. Oh, I don't know, 3-4 weeks after that, you guys heard about me. I don't know, it was kind of like that. It was seriously just, hey, this is where I'm going. This is what it looks like. This is where we're going to get to. And for me, it was just trust the process. Just trust the process. Just don't overstructure it. Don't overthink it. It's good to plan. It's good to have strategies. But sometimes strategies and plans stop us from hearing where God's leading us.
So we often like to think that when God speaks, it'll be really loud or obvious and things like that. And therefore we can't ignore it, but we do. Can you explain our role when it comes to listening to God's voice and his leading?
I think one of the things that we want to know is what's the end game. We kind of want, what's this here and I'll get there. Often I found what God does is say, this is where you're heading towards, but that may not be the end game. What God's wanting us to do is to take a step towards, a step towards, a step towards. For instance, when I was coming here, I kind of knew I was coming here, but at the same time, it was like, if you say no, you say no, I'm not going to lose sleep. Well, I'll probably lose sleep and I'll probably hate you forever, but you know, whatever. But if that's not my decision to make. My decision was, I believe this is where God's taking me. We'll go through the steps. We'll do what's next. And so there's a scripture that talks about, my head's not there. Anyway, a ship has a rudder. How does a ship turn if it's not moving? It can't. The rudder can only work when the ship's moving. And I think there's times where God says, almost like there's a carrot on a stick, head here. And as we're heading here, we start to move and God can redirect us. If we're looking for everything to be answered, then we'll never start moving and God can never direct us. So as I said just before, trust the process. Trust the process of God will get us to where we're meant to be. It just may not look like what we think it's going to look like. It just might not end in the place that we think it's going to end. But we don't know the story that's going on in that process. I remember in college, I think it was the second year of Bible college. We're in Hornsby, so yeah. I went to Bible college. This may not be the best reason to go to Bible college. I went to Bible college because I was so frustrated at pastors who looked down at me because I didn't know the same big words that they knew. So I went to Bible college to learn the same big words that they knew so they couldn't look down at me. Now, I'm not sure. That's probably not a good reason to go to Bible college, but that's kind of my process. And so second year of Bible college, we were working with Hornsby Church. And I had the principal of the college, he was coming up to speak. And so we were living on the college and I drove him up. And on the way, he says, Dave, I bet you just can't wait to get into pastoral ministry. And I said, mate, I couldn't think of anything worse. All the things in this world, that would be last. I have no desire. And he's looking at me. I said, mate, I came from missions. I worked with YWAM. I'm going back to missions. How comfortable with that, want to do that, purpose. No way am I going to go into a church ministry. I grew up in a church that had three church splits and they assassinated ministers. Who would be stupid enough to do a foolhardy thing like being a minister? Well, here we are. God took me through the process that he needed to take me through to where I think it was the first few months I was here, I said, I've only just realised that this is what I was cut out for. It took 30 years in ministry to come to a point of saying, actually, God made me into this role. And all of those things at the start stopped me from seeing that it was even possible or desirable to be in the place where God wants me to be. So yeah, just trust the process. It may not end up where you plan it to be, and often that's a good thing, but just trust the process.
Excellent. So we've heard a couple of stories from up the front here, and then what these guys have just shared in groups about the way God leads. But what can stop us from responding to God's leading?
As I said, I'm a pastor. I've got 3 points, but they don't start with the same letter. Because I haven't had time to do that because I'm sick. The first one I think is uncertainty. And a part of uncertainty is my space and God's space. So there's uncertainty of I'm not worthy, I'm not capable, I'm not skilled, I'm not gifted. We have the uncertainty of what we believe or who we believe we are for what God's calling us into. We also have the uncertainty to know that this is really God. Sometimes when God speaks to us, it's not so much that we don't hear him, it's just that we don't believe him, or we don't trust that that's him, or we don't trust that we're capable of understanding or hearing. There's an uncertainty that God can actually come through. We kind of know it in our heads of going, God can do anything, but there's an uncertainty in our hearts of saying, God can do that in me. I remember after being here probably 2 months and sitting down with Michael and saying, Michael, why aren't you a chaplain? And I don't think it went down well, which I'm cool with, but it was like, mate, I can see this in you. And he's like, not a chance. But the uncertainty in him, there was something that I could see. And Michael, just seeing you in the last week here and last, you're not the same person you were 2.5 years ago. What God's doing in you is huge. Don't belittle that. Sidetrack. So we have an uncertainty of ourselves and of God. I think there's fear. We have a huge amount of fear. A fear about others. What are others going to think? What are others going to say? What are others going to judge me on? What are others going to do in this place? What are others / family, friends going to say in this place? And fear of what ifs. What if? If I do what God's wanting to do, what if? Because the what ifs can stop us from doing so much. The third thing, uncertainty, fear, and comfort. We live a life of comfort. We like being comfortable. I like being comfortable. But comfort can stop us from taking a challenge, from taking a risk. And it's not just a comfort surroundings. It's actually a comfort of us understanding who we are. To take a risk and challenge who we perceive ourselves to be can be too hard. So I think the three things that can stop us, uncertainty, fear, and comfort.
And so last question, what's a challenge you would like to leave with us about being ready for God's leading?
The first thing is trust. Have we heard that today? Trust. I think there's an element we need to trust God. And what we don't say very often is there's an element we need to trust ourselves. We need to trust what we know. How often are we challenged on what we say and we think and we go, well, maybe I'm wrong? We need to trust ourselves a little more. Trust that we know stuff about who we are. Not everything, but trust that we're okay, we're on the right path. And trust God. Trust God that he knows who we are meant to be. Trust God that he's good, that he has our best plans in our insight for us. Trust that he's going to look after us in the process. Trust us in our fears. Trust God in our fears. Trust God in our uncertainties. Trust God that he will look after us and care for us and take us to a better place. The second thing is courage. We need to have courage. We need to be brave. We need to be able to step out into what we don't know, and that's really tough. We need to be able to be willing to have courage to take a risk, to go what's next. And the third thing, the last thing, is a willingness. Are we willing? In our heads, we're willing, but in our hearts and our actions, are we truly willing? Are we willing to upset the apple cart? Are we willing to take a risk? Are we willing to possibly lose everything that we value for the sake of the God that died for us? Are we willing to take that risk to step out into the unknown and the uncertainty to be able to see what God will do? If we don't risk, we get nothing. So, yeah, trust, courage, and a willingness.
Thanks.
And I'm under time.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
I didn't even time it. I don't even know, but I reckon I am.
So what we're going to do is just have a minute or two of just sitting. So what were those 3 points again, Dave? Trust, a willingness, and courage. I know I got them back to front. Trust, courage, willingness. So what I'd like us to do is just spend a couple of minutes taking that to God, saying sorry if he puts his finger on, hey, you haven't trusted me in this, or you like your comfort a little bit too much. And then we'll close in prayer. What we're going to do is, sorry, Michael, I'm just throwing this at you. Michael and Jamie will close in prayer for us in a couple of minutes.
Okay, Father God, I have no idea what I'm going to say, but the trust and the willingness and the courage, I think that really rings true. I believe that right here before you is a group of people who love you. So Father God, we stand here or sit here before you with love for you in our hearts, and we just pray, Lord, that you give us the trust, the willingness and the courage to do whatever it is that you ask of us, whatever that might be. And Father God, I pray that these things that you want us to do are planted in our minds in an inspiring way, and that we just trust you with whatever it is and know that if we go on that journey, you'll show up and you'll give us what we need to carry out what you want for us. So I put that prayer before you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, Father, I sit here in this congregation this morning. I've listened to people. I've listened to Michael and Dave and Janelle. And I've heard other people mention that through prayer, they have been cured, they have been healed, they have stepped forward in trust. They trusted you. This congregation, Lord, I think of back, Dave described how he knew he was coming here. Lord, we didn't. We went through the process. There was three elders, different men, different talents, different gifts, different personalities, but we worked together and we went through the process and we trusted you, and you brought us a pastor, the pastor that we needed. We pray that you will lead us through him or through the elders, whatever it takes, Lord. It's up to you. But you will lead us, this congregation and this pastor, this group, to do your will in this community, to be your hands and your feet, whatever it takes, Lord. We've learnt today that we can trust you. We've learnt today that all we need is to step forward and you will be there. You will guide us. You will be that rudder. That rudder that'll say, hang on a minute, that's a little bit wrong, and get us back to where you want us to go. We trust that you will do that. We thank you. For Dave, we pray for his health. We trust that you will cure him and bring him back to full health. He's got a week off next week, Lord. That's good. But we trust that you will have him back sparking on all cylinders again. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.